begins to wish that I could rewrite history. I used to dream that each mistake could be erased. Then I could just pretend I never knew the me back then. I used to pray that you would take this shame away, hide all the evidence of who I've been. But it's the memory of the place you brought me from that keeps me on my knees. And even though I'm free, heal the wound but leave the scar, a reminder of how merciful you are. Torn apart, take the pieces of this heart and heal the wound and leave the scar. I have not lived a life that boasts of anything. I don't take pride in what you can redeem. Heal the wound but leave the scar, a reminder of how merciful you are. I am broken, torn apart, take the pieces of this heart. Scar, a reminder of how merciful you are. I am broken, torn apart, so take the pieces of this heart and heal the wound, but leave the scar. Heal the wound, but leave the scar, a reminder of how merciful you are. I am broken, torn apart, so take the pieces of this heart and heal the wound, but leave the scar. The
sky. Thank you, Hannah. Well, we're officially into summer now, aren't we? Father's Day, summer. When I think of summertime, often I think of families. Families spending more time together, hopefully. Vacation time, no school. And as I was thinking about that today and thinking about families, I thought of a story in Acts chapter 3 that tells about Peter and John going up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And while they were there, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they healed a man who was crippled from birth. This healed man jumped to his feet and he went into the temple courts with them. He was walking and jumping and praising God, and of course, that attracted a lot of attention. People weren't used to that going on there. And Peter thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to the onlookers about Jesus. And his speech included, I'm coming around to families, his speech included, his little sermon that he gave, included the text that's on the front of the bulletin. In fact, this last phrase is found several times in the Bible. The first time was given to Abraham. But from Peter's sermon there in the temple, on the front of the bulletin, Acts 3:25 from the New Living Translation, Peter speaking to the people there, the worshipers gathered, he says, "You are the children of those prophets from the Old Testament, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, 'Through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed.'" And Paul agrees, and others talk about it. Paul says that if we are Abraham's seed, if we're Christ's, then we're Abraham's seed. He says that in Galatians 3. So, what I want us to think about a little bit this morning is that God wants to bless the world through you, through your family. If you're a Christian, God says that all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. You're included in that promise. When I think of families, there's lots of different family units that come to mind. First of all, there's us here, the church family. We're a family, right? Church family. We can think of a local church family. We could think of a conference church family. We could think of a union church family, division, the worldwide church family, the universal church. But within our own local congregation here, there are also smaller groups within the church that probably we could consider family units. Sabbath school classes are kind of like a family, aren't they? Yeah, I think they're kind of like a family unit. I think of the CHIP family, if you've been involved with the CHIP program, right, George? That's a family unit, the CHIP family. Pretty big family, you're right. If you come on Friday nights to the fellowship group, that's a fellowship group family. Used to be singles, now it's included a little bigger than that. If you attend the Forever Young, used to be 50-plus family unit, that's kind of a family. There's lots of families as we think about activities in the church. Sometimes even committees can be families. They get together, they plan, they do things. The social committee can be a family, evangelism committee. So those are some of the families within the church. Also, I think of families of choice. Friends can be considered families. Friends that get together on occasion to do things. That's where the expression birds of a feather flock together. Well, those are kind of like family units, people that are similar. And of course, our own nuclear families, our literal physical families, those are families. So you get the idea. There's lots of different types of categories when I think of families. Families in the church. And I'd like to suggest that God wants to use all of us to be a blessing in this world. All of us, wherever we are. You see, there's something about more can be accomplished through a group than individuals. There's something about getting together, having a common purpose, common goal, where we can accomplish more than we can individually. As I've thought about family units, families, and how God wants to bless the world through us, through families, that's a big topic. Just thinking of all these different family units is big. And to try to cover all these units separately is way too much for what I'm going to do today, even though I got started kind of early today, didn't I? It won't be long. What I want to do briefly here for us, with us today, is to briefly look at just three areas that apply to all family units in our relationships with one another. Whatever group, whatever family we are in, how we can be a blessing in three different areas. In our thinking, in our speaking, and in our acting. Very simple. It applies to wherever we are, in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our acting. I believe that families that are healthy in their thinking, in their speaking, and their acting will be a blessing wherever we are. First of all, in our thinking, keep your thought attacks in check. Control your thoughts. Deal with your thoughts. Learn to have good thoughts. I think we all, most of us know the passage from the King James Version of Proverbs. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh, so is he." You look at that in different translations and it's a little different. But in the King James tradition, it's as a person thinks, so they are. We are thinking creatures. Think about it. We are thinking creatures. And because we're constantly thinking, it's easy to forget that we're constantly thinking. We just do it. We're thinking all the time. Thinking is automatic for us. We are always thinking. We're thinking about how much we have to do, how much we haven't done. We're thinking about what we're listening to sometimes. We're thinking about what's going on around us. We're thinking about how she's dressed, how he's acting, what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. We're always thinking something. Something. We're always thinking. Without even thinking about it, we are thinking. We're thinking individuals. The problem is, one of the reasons I'm talking about it, is that our thinking comes back to us in the form of feelings. Our thinking affects the way we feel. In other words, if I'm having angry thoughts, if I'm thinking angry things, I have a tendency to feel angry. If I'm having resentful thoughts, I have a tendency to feel resentful. If we're having stressful thoughts, we have a tendency to feel stressful. My feelings follow my thoughts just as surely as a lamb follows its mother. It happens. The way we think affects the way we feel. Now, what I'm calling a thought attack goes something like this. Let's just pretend you have a teenager. And you walk into the teenager's room, and it could be a younger person, it could be a different situation, it could be a place at work, it could be wherever. But you just walk into a certain situation, and you have a thought like this. This filthy place is never cleaned up. Now, just that thought by itself is not so bad. However, we rarely have the wisdom to nip that thought right there and change it and go on. Instead, that thought usually leads to other thoughts like, you know, I'm the only one around here who ever cleans anything up. Pretty soon it could start saying, I hate this place. I resent that person. This place is the pits. Pretty soon, it's not just a thought. We are feeling bothered and annoyed. And we don't realize the extent to which our thinking has contributed to our own mental anguish, and it has a tendency to go out and affect other people when we start lashing out at them, the way we relate to them. So, when this type of mental behavior takes place, this mental conversation within ourselves, and we all talk to ourselves all the time, we do. If we continue to think that way, we'll begin to feel the results, positive or negative. And lashing out on others based on our negative thinking is not a very nice way to be a blessing. You think? I don't think so. Another option is to say, all right, I need to evaluate my thinking. Think about my thinking. To catch myself in the action of how I am thinking, what I am thinking. Notice what's happening in my thinking. Say something like, whoops, Lord, that's not where I believe I need to be going. Help me to think about something else. Help me to reframe it. Think it differently. to think about something else that reminds me about how I may be acting or shortly about ready to do something that I may regret later. When we become observers of our thinking, it allows us to nip our stress and resentments and angers and a lot of frustrations in the bud by derailing those negative thoughts, turning them in a healthy direction. It helps us not to allow our thoughts to make our lives seem more difficult than they already are, because even with good thinking, life is tough, right? You bet it is. Life is tough. So the earlier we stop our thought attacks, our negative thought attacks, the easier it is to regroup and get back on track. It's a very simple concept. However, like many things in life, it's not always easy to practice. It's hard. It's hard to control our thoughts. It's hard to realize, as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible meant that. With practice, with persistence, with prayer, with keeping on doing it, we can become nicer people. And it begins with our thinking. Begins with our thoughts. That's the way to be a blessing, is guarding our thoughts, working with our thoughts. Okay, number one is our thoughts. Secondly, the way we speak. The words, the kind of words that we say to one another. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Learn to speak with loving kindness. Learn to speak nicely to people. I believe that's being a blessing, by speaking nicely to people. You know, it's so easy to get in the habit of speaking behind the backs of other people. Even if I'm not speaking directly to them, I can speak about them to other people. I can speak harshly in a negative way about other people, or I can even speak in a sarcastic way to people. And speaking those mean-spirited negative things about life and about other people, mumbling disrespectful things under our breaths, gossiping, saying things like that about other people, unfortunately, is not innocent and harmless. Because even if the person I am talking that way about never hears it, you know who does hear it? I do. Even if it's under my breath, I hear it. So that ties right in with my thinking. It affects me. And of course, anyone else who happens to hear it. So to start with in this thinking, speaking, I think it's helpful to get into the habit of learning to apply the golden rule. Do you like it when others verbally attack you? You like it? Feel good? Help? Does it help you? Being on the receiving end of verbal abuse is not pleasant. In fact, it usually puts us in a defensive mode, right? If I'm attacked, either fight or flight, I have a tendency to do that. Retaliation is a very natural result. It's definitely not a way to bless people by verbally attacking them. And as I've said, even talking about people behind their backs, which we're all guilty, you know, I'm not pointing fingers, we're all guilty, we all struggle with it, it's a form of disrespect because they can't defend themselves. You know, we can build up all sorts of kinds of scenarios about people behind their backs when they're not there to defend themselves. But you know, as I was saying a little bit ago, when I speak in a harsh or negative way, it affects the way I feel. If I pay attention to how I feel, the way I speak, when I speak negatively, I'm focusing my thoughts and my mind on negative things. And that's what's wrong with a lot of us, is we're focused on the negative. Our world is negative enough. Speaking, thinking negatively can cause us to forget what we have to be grateful for. Cause us to forget that God is in control. Can cause us to forget that we all have room for growth. Focusing on imperfection, no one wins. There was a gentleman that I'm going to call Adam. No one here knows him. No one here. Just in case you're trying to figure out who. Adam learned this lesson he writes about when he was a teenager. He said something really mean to somebody. And rather than responding with anger or becoming defensive, the woman who he spoke something very crudely to said in a very soft, gentle voice, "Do you feel better, Adam, now that you've been mean and disrespectful to me?" That's a very insightful response, wasn't it? Adam was stunned. He was in shock that she responded that way. It caused him to stop and think about what he had said. Even in that painful, and he said that was a very painful and humbling moment. He was just a teenager when this lady said that, when he responded that way. He said he learned a powerful lesson that he never forgot. She was absolutely right. He did not feel powerful anymore. He did not feel cool by just lambasting somebody. He said he felt foolish. He decided that he wanted to learn to think twice. He wanted to learn to put his brain in gear before he let his mouth roll. Now, I realize we all make mistakes. We all have challenges. Adam, in his writing, said, you know, I've deviated from my lofty ideal. I haven't always done that, but it's a goal I have. I want to do that. I want to be a blessing. I have plenty of room for improvement, but at least by putting it out there and thinking about it, I'm causing myself to pay attention to it. So I believe if more of us would pay more attention, consciously strive to think about the way we talk to one another, our world would be a more loving place. We would be a blessing if we thought about how we talk to people. And thirdly, we talked about our thinking, our speaking. Number three, the way we act, our actions. Remember that actions speak louder than words. 1 John 3:18 says in the New Living Translation, "Dear children, let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions." You ever heard this quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson? He said, "What you do speaks so loud I cannot hear what you say." Isn't that powerful? What you do speaks so loud that I cannot hear what you say. What we say to people is very important. However, the words are not important, as important as what we do. I'm going to read you a poem by Edgar A. Guest, and I learned it when I was a kid, just the first phrase. But I looked it up on the internet, and it's a little longer than two sentences, but it's not a long one. But it's all about this thing. It's entitled, "I'd Rather See a Sermon." So I'll sit down shortly after I say it, because I'd rather see a sermon. It goes like this. "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes, a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it, if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run." That's a cool phrase. "And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." Isn't that a cool poem? Very good. "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." You know, there's so many things that we do in our actions with people that demonstrate our priorities. You know, if I'm sitting down, if I've been gone all day and I'm sitting down talking with a child, a spouse, with someone important, and the phone rings, and I have to answer the phone then, you know what that says? It says, the phone's more important than you are right now. That's what it says. That's what answering machines are for. Now, I realize that there are some priorities. Sometimes we need to do what we need to do. But sometimes there's things in life that we do that speak volumes about how other things are more important than the people that we're dealing with right then. We can think about the cooking and the dishes and the cleaning up and anything and everything. I understand life is not perfect. I understand there's trade-offs. I understand it's hard to keep a balance. I know that. Most of us must work to earn a living. And sometimes work takes up most of our waking time. I understand that. And there's many times that there's not much one can do about it. However, there are some things we can do. We can learn to say no. We don't have to say yes to everything. Sometimes we can say, spending time with my child or my family or my spouse is more important right now. We can do that. Put our heart into it. Like I said, if I'm talking to someone, if we're having, I'm not talking about just casual informal stuff, but if it's a serious conversation, something that we haven't had time to accomplish in a long time and the phone rings, you don't have to answer the phone. Don't have to do that. Or if you do, you can say, I'm busy, I'll call you back. But, you know, we don't have to do that. We can learn to become more patient. We can learn to be better listeners. It's amazing how many times as we talk with people, I can be more focused upon what I want to say next than what they're saying. Learning to listen. We can be thinking more about what we're going to be doing than listening to them. It all adds up. Lots of little ways that we can show people. What I'm saying is our actions speak louder than our words. What do our actions say? Are we a blessing to the people around us? Do they get the idea that they're really important, that we want to be a blessing to them? Actions do speak louder than words. Well, that's about what I was going to say today. Some things about being a blessing as families, about being a blessing in our thinking, in our speaking, in our action, in our family units, whatever those family units are. God wants to bless the world through you. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you being here, worshiping with us at English Oaks. I will pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of worship. Thank you for you giving of your time and your talents, your ear, your time for us. May we learn how to be a blessing to others as we live and wait and work for your coming. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.